Hey, good morning, everybody. I'm excited to continue a series that Mark started us out with last week called God Is. And basically, we wanted to spend about 8 weeks just talking about the character and nature of God, which is going to be pretty limited in what we could talk about an infinite God with. But I'm excited to dig in, and I can already see there's going to be a little bit of overlap in some of these, but it's all good. We're going to have fun with it. So Mark started us off last week with God is infinite. And I'm going to be sharing today about how God is the creator. So probably no better place to start a message on God as the creator than the very first line in the Bible, which is in Genesis 1:1 that says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." So first line of the book, he sets himself up as creator, one who creates. And I want to propose, just to give an idea of where I'm going with this, that a creator is not just someone who creates something, who forms or fashions or sculpts or does those kinds of actions, but is the originator of the vision of why something like that should exist in the first place. So I'll give an example of a builder, like or someone who wants to build something. Let's say somebody wants to have like a really nice ranch property to live on. What they would do is they have this vision in their mind where they're like, okay, this is a beautiful place where my kids will play, where all these wonderful memories will happen, where I can work hard, I can enjoy sunsets, et cetera, et cetera. So they call a realtor, they call a builder to work on the house, they call all kinds of different tradesmen and whatnot, and they may not actually do a single piece of like the hands-on hammering or the digging a ditch or whatever it might be. They might not do a single piece of that, but the fact is that they had the vision, the place in the heart, they had the vision to actually see something like that come to be, and they set the things in motion that were necessary to make that become a reality. That's actually the standalone biggest concept to me about a creator that separates them, is that they have not just the vision of what's to be created, but why it should be there in the first place. So it's interesting because in the very beginning, it's talking about in the beginning, first three words, at least in our translation of the Bible, that's an interesting way to set up and describe a process in which God, an infinite being who is, he's outside of time, he doesn't have beginning and end, he is the beginning and the end. It's interesting, why would he start with in the beginning? If he wasn't going to frame a story or a vision of what he had in mind the whole time, it's the start of why did I create this? Why did I do this? And I want to propose that what is consistently brought up in the Bible from chapter to chapter, from book to book, through different authors, consistent through the whole thing, is said in the words of God, that they would be my people and I would be their God. That's his vision. That they would be my people and I would be their God. Let me tell you some things that I love about God. In Acts chapter 17, verse 24 through 25, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else." That's what he does. Just like the builder example that we talked about a minute ago, it's not even just what they build, but all of the qualities that they have go into it. Like if a builder builds a house, then it's not just the house that's in the end. How well built it is shows the qualities of the builder. How beautiful it is shows the qualities of the builder. All of the invisible attributes that it talks about in Romans 1 when it says that as we see creation, all the invisible attributes are made known about God because you learn about the one who made it from what you see in itself. That's what God does. He brings life and breath and everything else. That it follows him. That's his trademark. That's his seed. You see it in all of the works that he does. And he's so generous with it, and he set it up so sustainably that he shares that peace to those who rely on him. In Psalms 84, 5 through 7, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca," or death, They make it a place of springs. The autumn rains cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. That's the nature of every Christ follower too. I mean, look at the anointing that Paul had. If people just wanted to be in his shadow and touch the rags, because he shares that. He has co-creators. He has co-laborers in his work, and he's generous with his favor. He rains, sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous alike, but especially for those who are in agreement with his purpose, who have caught the vision that they would be my people and I would be their God. He is so generous. And he's not so boxed in that he can't use things like destruction to bring life. A super simple practical example, like look at compost, right? It makes a garden flourish. An example that would be much more fitting to why we're here right now this morning, the death of the Son of God brought us life. He can use death. He doesn't fit in these boxes like what we feel like we have to so often. And he's not so limited that he can only influence the world through people who are loyal to him or who agree with him. I mean, he doesn't have to process from that kind of scarcity. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. They're greater than our ways. The vision that he holds in his heart, in his mind, is powerful enough. It's strong enough that he would have a reason for everything else to exist. Like, why create the world? Honestly, so you can have people to live in so that they could be his people and he could be our God. Everything comes back to his vision. He's not stuck in these limited constraints that we so often have to think of. And everything comes back to the purpose of that vision. So how does he do this so well? And what does it look like? Again, he's not boxed and he's not limited, but a major trend that walks from Genesis to Revelation is that he speaks things into being. He does it with his word. And it could be something that he speaks into being that physically shows up right away, or in months to come or years to come. Or it could be that he just speaks his word in a way that is that presents a seed, so that if that seed were to fall in good soil, it would grow up and create exactly what he had in mind from the very beginning. I feel like he does such a mix of that. He doesn't go in one way or another, and he's so brilliant with it. He's such a builder, he's such a creator, that he builds the sustainability into it as he goes. It says in the word, he sustains everything through his word. He saves us, connects with us, keeps us, sustains us, encourages us, disciplines us, cares for us, holds us, walks with us. Through everything that he has spoken from the very beginning, he's continually communicating. It's like tuning into the channel. It says that Jesus, he is always interceding for us, always. He's continually communicating tangibly and intangibly what his vision was from the very beginning. That's the heartbeat of a creator. He keeps speaking. It says in Hebrews that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He didn't stop speaking when he spoke the world into motion and everything that followed that. He kept speaking. And so a couple of tangible examples of how he does this and how he shared it with us. In Proverbs 3:19, by wisdom the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding, he sets the heavens in place. So the word for wisdom in there is a particular kind of wisdom. There's a few different words that are used in the Old Testament, but this is a particular kind of wisdom that means it's like a creative wisdom. It has the purpose of creating a vision, whether it's how a people would be governed, or how a tree actually would sustain itself, or how to make a building so that it doesn't fall down. That's the type of wisdom that he established the foundations of the earth with. And it says, it uses the same word in the kind of wisdom that he gave to this guy named Bezalel. And Bezalel is the guy that built the first tabernacle. Moses put him in charge of actually building it. And the wonderful thing about Bezalel, it says in Exodus 31 that he was given a gift of the Spirit of great wisdom and skill. That's the same word of wisdom that the Lord used in setting the foundations of the earth. He was given this great wisdom and skill to be able to create. And so his name, Bezalel, actually means like in the shadow of God. So what the picture of this wisdom looked like is basically like as if Bezalel was in the shadow of God, watching him create the things that he created, watching him do the things that he did so that he would know exactly how the Lord would do it if it was completely up to him. And that's how he built it. That's why that first earthly representation of what happens in heaven, the tabernacle, was perfectly done. And then not even too much farther into the Bible, we see the same gift of wisdom given to Solomon. And thank God most of that, or a lot of that, probably not most of it, a lot of that's recorded in the Bible so that we have something to go off of too, that was shared with us. And that was the same word for wisdom, a wisdom to create. When Solomon had the dream and he said, and the Lord said, "What do you want me to give to you?" And he said, I'm overwhelmed by the projects I have. I'm overwhelmed by what I'm called to do and to govern this awesome people, this great people of yours. Give me the wisdom and the understanding to do it well, so that it would be like you did it. Basically, he's like, I want your vision for this. I want your heart for this so that I create accordingly. Because again, the notable thing about a creator is the vision, and not just of what's going to be created, but why you do it in the first place. And so Solomon walked into that. That was the gift of wisdom that was given to him. And that's when Israel saw their greatest prosperity. That's when the temple was built. That's when all these wonderful things happened, so that even the whole world was amazed and set the example. You know, the prophets got the other side of that. Those were the tangible examples. The prophets got the intangible examples of this vision. And they spoke the words. They were given the anointing to speak the words and create in the same way that God created, it, obviously to a lesser measure. But they would speak to the dry bones. They would speak to something to happen, to make an axe head float. They would do all of those things to create a very different result than what you could see, something that only faith could create, that only the miraculous could create. And that's what they did. They had that vision for a better world, and they would speak things into being, and they would also, they were like seed scatterers. They'd throw all the seed, the word of God, they'd throw it everywhere. And wherever it would take root, just as in the parable of the sower, it would produce a crop 30, 60, or 100 times what was sown if it landed in good soil. That was the heart from the very beginning. That was the vision that he had, that they would be my people and I would be their God. And so after all of this, this system that you would, we'd love to think would just work so flawlessly and perfectly, that if people understood the goodness of the Lord, that it would be so easy. But how hard is it for us to understand the goodness of the Lord and to pursue him consistently until we actually see it? Like in one of my previous messages, till we get a taste of it to see, yes, my faith is worthwhile in Jesus. And so what the Lord did is, after all of this unrelenting persistence to just keep bringing that vision to the people, keep speaking, keep sharing what he had in mind the whole time, he eventually comes to this point that he talked about from the very beginning, where he sends his son, Jesus, in the form of a man, to be born on this earth and to grow up. John chapter 1:1-5 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Sound familiar? He gives life and breath and everything else. That was his agenda from the very beginning, so that we could have relationship. In the beginning was the Word. And now the Word came down to bring the message himself. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1-4, it says, "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he also made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he provided purification for sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven." You know, there was a Jesus told this story himself through the parable of the tenants. And I'm just going to paraphrase it, but basically there was a landowner, and he went and he bought a property. He did a wine press in it and a watchtower and a few other things, and then he rented it out to some people, basically to create like a win-win agreement, where they'd have a relationship that would benefit both of them. And then he went off, and when he sent some workers to them to actually collect the fruit and to collect the rent, they beat the workers, they killed one, they stoned another, and so he sent some more, and they did the same things. And then he thought, you know what, they're not receiving this, they're not receiving my heart behind this, I'll send my son, they'll respect my son. And so he sends his son, and the tenants that are there think, oh, this is the son, if we kill him, we'll claim the inheritance. So they killed him. And then, of course, the tenant came down, or the landowner came down on them. But what he did, that son that was thrown out, that son that was killed and thrown to the side, it says just a few verses later that he became the cornerstone. The stone the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone, and it has been marvelous in our eyes. The Lord did it. He's the one that made this possible. Why? Because he keeps speaking the same thing into being. Before, he spoke it through the prophets. He made it tangible and intangible. And now he speaks it through his son, Jesus. Jesus came down to make it clear to us. The story has not changed one bit from the very beginning. His heart ever since he started was that we would be his people and he would be our God. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11 through 15, I'm also going to paraphrase this, but basically he said, who's going to ascend to the heaven and proclaim to us what you have to say so that we could hear it and we could obey it? And who's going to go across the sea to find what you want to share with us so that we could obey it, so that we could come to understand you? And he says, no, the word is very near you. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart so that you may obey it. See, today I set before you life and prosperity, death and destruction. He gave the choice. He said, I've made it available to you. I've brought it down. My vision is that you and I together would have this, that they would be my people and I would be their God. That was my heart the whole time. I created the earth. I created the universe. I did all of these things so that you would have this habitable place in its crazy engineering that's statistically impossible by how it's sorted out. That you would have this place, that this could even be a possibility. And I give you the choice to decide, do you want it? Do you want this relationship? Will you come into this vision that I have for us? It's a win-win, I promise. And that's the heart. I made it available. You don't have to stretch far and wide to find it. Here it is. He made himself available in every way. And it's not like he even has to be mad and punish us for saying no. He doesn't have to do that. In fact, out of love, the only way you have a relationship where love is possible is if you give choice. You can't just make somebody love you. You have to give them choice to love you. And so what he did is he's like, I don't have to punish them for not choosing what I hoped they would. I'll just let them have what they want. I'll let them have what they want. If they don't want to be with me, then they don't have to. But that's where he came around and he said, you know, I made everything possible. Everything culminates into Jesus, the Son. That at every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Why? Because he was there from the beginning. He told the story. The book of the Bible is, if you can't describe an infinite God in a limited book. This has to do with his vision for humanity, that they would be my people and I would be their God. That's the mark of a creator, not just what he made, but the vision that got you there. What you have in your home, the people you have in your life, the lessons you learn, the possibilities just to taste and to hear, and like things that you don't realize can be taken away from you. Those kinds of things, those were all gifts. And why? Because the purpose, the heart behind it the whole time, that they would be my people and I would be their God. I want to pray over you guys and let, Lord, us see that this is your heart so that we could relax and let go to trust you in every place. No matter how long we've walked this with you, that we'd keep hearing you. We'd keep hearing this vision. We'd keep hearing your heart as the creator that set everything in motion to give us life and breath and everything else. Share this kindness with us. Help us see it. so that we would grow in trust, we would understand, and we'd be like children. I love you. I'm thankful for the lessons that you teach me, even the hard ones. I really am. In Jesus' name, amen.